Hello, everyone. This is Andy.
And this is Ethel.
And you are listening to Japan Top 10 Indie Artist Interview for October 2020. Japan Top 10. Today's episode, we will feature Louis Ling and The Bombs, as well as Yuri TKA, as our featured indie artist interviews. But before we get into that, I have a short little announcement for the month of October. As many of you already know, it is Listener Appreciation Month. Yay! That means that for this month, you will get all of our episodes ad-free. So regardless of if you're Patreon donors or not, you will continue to receive episodes without any announcements or ads for our Listener Appreciation Month. So, if you've enjoyed the experience of listening to ad-free and announcement-free episodes, please consider joining our Patreon and sign up to be a Patreon donor at jtop10.jp/club. It starts at just $1 a month. And if you have song requests for episodes released this month, please see our website at jtop10.jp to let us know if you have anything that you would like to hear. But without further ado, let's get into our interviews. I know that I had a wonderful time. How about you, Ethel? Did you have a nice time interviewing Yuri TKA?
Yes, I had a really, really good interview with Yuri. A really quick one too. But I think for listeners today on our episode, we will have something quite special, especially on my interview site, because for the first time in all of the indie artist interviews that we've done, this is the first time that we've had a musician perform their music live for our show.
That is amazing. And I also have a surprise because Louis Ling and the Bombs also performed live music for us today. So we'll have a double dose of some live performances by both of our artists today.
And I feel that's such a nice change, especially because most of the time we tend to just play a pre-recorded track that they've already run through the audio editing system and done the full production on it. So it's always nice to hear like a raw format of how the music is supposed to sound, preferably live one day when live concerts are a thing again.
Yes, let's pray that can happen sooner rather than later.
Oh, I totally agree. So what do you have for us today, Andy?
Yes, so first up, we will start with my interview that I was able to do with Louis Ling and the Bombs. I actually was fortunate to get to interview three members from Louis Ling, Josh, Arno, and Juliet. So they are a six-member band, but three of them were able to gather and both perform two songs. Their first song was Onigiri, which is an original by Louis Ling and the Bombs. And they also did a cover of a Tulip song called Kokoro no Tabi. So both of those were really good. That will be actually the first thing you guys hear. So before we get into the interview, I'll introduce Louis Ling and the Bombs for you all. Louis Ling and the Bombs, they were formed in 2006 by Josh, who I mentioned previously, who is a musician from the UK and now lives in Paris. They are a punk rock garage pop band. Their self-described sound is a mix of ultra-political anarchic punk rock and children's nursery rhyme riot pop, laced with a whole sonic attack of chaos and fizzy energy. And I think that is true. You will definitely see that come out throughout the interview, so please enjoy all of that energy in both the songs and what the members had to say. A little bit more of a tidbit about the band is the band also writes more classic J-pop songs for licensing to publishing companies. So that's a little bit of their background. They have a background in J-pop, city pop, but also produce this high octane, wonderful punk rock sound that is just influenced by a whole wide range of genres. So, without further ado, I hope that you will enjoy my interview with Josh, Arno, and Juliet of Louis Ling and the Bombs.
Okay,
which one?
This song is called Onigiri, and it's written by us.
Thank you.
中に入れてボールをたくさん作ってみんなでギュギュして山椒鮭梅干しを中に入れてボールをたくさん作ってみんなでギュギュしてバ
ーッ。This next song is called the Kokoro no Tabi, originally by Tulip, and we do it the Go-Go 78 way.
78.
We do it the Go-Go 71, 78 way.
No, 88.
We do it the Go-Go 88 way.
No.
But okay, let's do that. Yeah.
Lovely. Awesome. Well,
we'll just make some noise about putting our instruments down. There we are.
We're breaking stuff.
Oh yeah, breaking everything. In my
Oh no, please don't do that. Not on behalf of this interview. No. Well, first of all, thank you so much. That is, well, the first concert I've been to all year, so it was lovely. yeah, I really enjoyed that. And yeah, I'd love to jump right into asking you about the two songs you just performed, if that's all right.
Yeah.
That's a pleasure.
Yeah, so let's start with Onigiri. So you wrote Onigiri. What was your inspiration or the impetus?
I'll let Juliet take that.
Well, Greg and I, so Greg is the former drummer. He was the drummer in the band before our current drummer. And he happens to be my boyfriend as well. And so we had
still
nothing
is.
To... Yeah, still is. And it was just one afternoon, we didn't have anything to do, and he had some ideas for, you know, a riff, and we said, oh, let's make a song, my father is Japanese. I don't know if Josh has told you about that, but anyway, my father is Japanese, and so I speak a little Japanese, and so I just made this song about onigiri because I love onigiri, but I'm sure the lyrics are riddled with mistakes, and it makes no sense. It's completely stupid, but it's just a song that we made in 5 minutes basically.
And it's a recipe.
It's a recipe, and it's like
it's the philosophy of onigiri.
Yeah, exactly.
The philosophy,
it just basically means that you can eat onigiri wherever you want, and that's great, and you can make onigiri with your friends, and everybody's making them by, you know, doing you, and that's great, and everybody's having fun.
So it's about freedom.
It's about freedom, yeah.
The freedom,
yeah.
It's freedom, it's expression, it's very dynamic.
Yeah, anyone can make onigiri. You can't
yes,
stop us.
Absolutely.
No government can stop us making onigiri.
Well, on that note, I was going to ask, do you have a favorite onigiri flavor? Like something that you most enjoy?
Oh, well, I love shake onigiri. So onigiri with dried salmon inside. It's really good. Yeah,
lovely.
Sancho is really good as well. I can't remember. Yeah, they're making onigiri with sancho inside as well. So it's a kind of leaf, kind of plant that grows only in Japan, I guess, or in Asia. But...
Yeah, I was going to say, Josh and Arno, have you also tried or made onigiri before?
I think I've never tried.
Oh, we should do that.
We should do an onigiri party. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Except parties are banned.
Parties are banned.
Just the three of us, so it's okay.
Yes. Maybe right after this interview. Lovely. Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, that was just such a lovely song. I was listening to it prior to us starting our interview. I was on SoundCloud, and just that whole OP, the EP, the Hiroi Chiripu, it was really lovely. So I was wondering if the other song, the Tulip cover, does that have a special meaning for you guys, or is there a certain reason why you chose to cover that song?
I think it's one of the standards. If there are standards in J-rock, it's one of the J-rock standards, and it's already been covered by lots and lots and lots of people.
Definitely.
You know,
we hesitated.
Yeah.
Do we play Linda Linda like everyone, or the other one? And we choose the other one.
Which is the other one? Oh,
but
I love it.
I think we'll also do a cover of Linda Linda.
Yeah,
one day.
Because it's really a great song.
Oh,
and we want everyone to sing like they're in a karaoke. Linda Linda. Just want that.
I love that. No, definitely. I think you hit the nail on the head, though. Playing that for a crowd that has any, you know, assemblage of J-rock knowledge, they're going to be jumping around and singing along, so...
I'm dreaming about doing a live karaoke show with people coming in the show to sing with us, and we're playing, and I think it's really...
I love that idea. That's wonderful. That's so cool. I'll have to find like somehow to get over there so that I can join.
when we can do show again.
Yes, hopefully. Well, who knows when that will be, but we will be we're waiting for it to happen. Lovely. Well, I guess kind of breaking away from the songs, I'd love to talk about now, focus the conversation more on you guys as a band. So what is your origin story? How did you guys meet and form and come together?
We formed in 2006 because by accident I had given what I thought was a demo of a band I was producing to a record label, and they loved it, and they wanted to sign Underground Railroad. So they came to the Underground Railroad show, and they listened to the concert, and afterwards they came to me and they said, "Oh well, it was a good show, but the song Princess Mononoke, where's the song Princess Mononoke?" And I realized I'd given them a CD of my demos, not their demos. And
oh,
I was like,
gosh.
I was like, how embarrassing. So I ran out of the concert going, sorry. You can edit that afterwards. And and then I went home, and my girlfriend said, "Oh man, that means you have to form a band now."
Oh my gosh.
Damn, too bad. So then I just formed a band randomly with random people, really, completely random people. And obviously it didn't really work.
Oh, some of them stayed.
One person stayed. Yeah, one person stayed for a while, and then really, I asked the brother of a good guitarist that I knew to form the band, to be in the band, and he said he couldn't play guitar, and I said, "Yeah, but your brother plays guitar really well, so you must have it in you." And he said, "Oh, okay." And he joined the band, and he was a bad guitarist. And so he left the band, and we got Arno eventually, who's a good guitarist.
And you ask a bass player to play keyboard.
Yeah. And Clemence, who's a super bass player in Foxglove, which is a great band. I said, "Oh, you have to join. You have to play keyboards." And she was like, "Ah, I'm really a bass player." And I said, "Oh, I don't care.
So
come in.
Look like I care."
Yeah. And she plays keyboards in a rudimentary style since 2006.
Oh my goodness. And then Juliet, how did you come wrapped into the band?
Oh yeah, I think, well, it was at the beginning actually.
Yeah, it was right at the beginning. Yeah, yeah. She was one of the very first people. I needed a female vocals, and I'd got my wife to do a bit of female vocals first. And then I was like, "Oh no, but I can't have my wife on my record." So I had to find someone else that I knew was cool. So so I knew Juliet was cool, and I got her in the band, and she was a backing singer.
Actually, at the beginning, you just asked me to do the backing vocals on something you were recording. And so it was the first album, I guess. And so we recorded the backing vocals at your place. And then I thought, well, that was fun. That was nice. But to me, it was over, you know. It was just, you know, for one afternoon. And then Josh called me back and said, "Well, so we're playing next week."
Next week.
And I was, oh my goodness.
It does that a lot.
Yeah. I was not, I mean, at the beginning I didn't expect to, you know, to be playing in concerts at all, but then I thought, why not?
We put her in the middle of the stage. even though at the time it was just a couple of woo woo woo, you know, backing vocals from time to time. We were horrible to her. Every single concert we put her in the middle, because I knew that one day she would be the star of the band. I knew it. And she is now. She's the star now.
Well, I mean, yeah, right, it worked. You got to cut your teeth on getting that center stage limelight.
Well.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, that's, I mean, that is a very pop punk, very punk origin, if I do say so myself, kind of a ragtag crew coming along. But it really worked out for the best, because your music always turns out wonderful, and I've really enjoyed getting to experience it over the past couple of weeks gearing up to this interview. So I was going to ask if, well, you briefly touched on it when you talk about onigiri, but how does a typical songwriting process go for you guys, or a song, like making a song, go for you guys?
Well, the English ones are written by me, because I'm okay. I'm actually English. The Japanese ones are written by Juliet, and the guitar riffs are written by Ono. Hey, well, that's mostly it. And then the bass.
Yeah, well, there are other members of the
family. And then the bass lines and the keyboards are written by.
They didn't care
by
them. Yeah. Beep them. Usually you came with an idea, or someone in the band came with an idea, like two or three chords and things like that, and we put that together on rehearsal. We are sometimes we play the chords and you sing, try to figure a melody, and then Axel and I, we like to do all the construction of there are gonna be a jump, there are the cuts, we're gonna play and after a while, at first it sounds really bad, and after a while it starts to sound like something, like a song, and after we are kind of proud, and when we finish a rehearsal and have the song in our head, like on our way home, we think that maybe we achieve something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And Octave as well.
We have a new drummer.
Yeah, we have a new drummer.
And he's a musician.
He understands music.
This one is a musician.
It's crazy. I never thought a drummer could actually understand music. But
we are lost.
He's like we understand like three chords and punk rock and stuff. And he's like, he understands everything. He's like another level. It's amazing.
Oh my goodness.
It's amazing.
Well. Wonderful. You have a new creative addition into inject some new flavor, right?
Yeah. I asked him to write a song for us 6 months ago, and he's working on it still after 6 months. Well, I can't wait to see if it's going to be a good song.
Sometimes he drinks.
Yes. we will also be looking forward to that, all of the listeners as well. Wonderful. Well, I kind of also wanted to ask a little bit about the name Lewis Ling and the Bombs. How did you arrive at this figure in history?
Exactly. I've always looked at punk rock as very efficient. That means the t-shirt means something, the logo means something, all the songs mean something, even the name means something. So I had to find out a name that actually meant something real to real people. So I found someone from history that had been kind of forgotten, even though here in Europe the 1st of May is a holiday and a very important holiday, because everyone goes on the street and protests. And it's a very important part of European life.
It's really French.
Yeah. And it's French, but it's also happens all over the world. They even had it in America for a long time called Labor Day.
Labor Day.
Until they moved it. But the origin of Labor Day has been forgotten. Labor Day was to remember the fact that Louis Ling was condemned to death and committed suicide before he was killed, and that for a terrorist attack that he never did. And that in the day was so inspiring for the people that eventually they kept on fighting for the 8-hour day, and it became Labor Day to commemorate the Haymarket martyrs, of which he wasn't the only one. There was a few others that died that were killed.
Like 11 people.
Yeah.
He was an anarchist who lived in Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah. From Germany, and he lived there in the 19th century. Can't remember when exactly.
The 1880s.
Yeah.
There we are. It's an. I've been purposefully vague with the. with the story because I want your listeners to go on Wikipedia. You see?
Yes.
I don't wanna like tell the story too much. I just wanna like tease the people.
No, that is perfect. Yeah. So to all of our listeners, please look up Lewis Ling and educate yourself on the history behind this name. Now, I was actually doing the same, gearing up for this interview, and so it was really, I wanted to ask about that, but kind of pivoting a little bit, I wanted to also ask about the themes in your music. So what are the main themes that come up in your songs? Do you find yourself drawing on that, like you were saying, that the important issues of, you know?
Yeah, we have done. Oh. Because the important thing for me about punk rock is three chords and the truth. So three chords is easy, but the truth is more difficult. The truth is more elusive and difficult to find, especially when you don't necessarily want that every song to be a love song. It's very difficult to find to find a real truth. So yeah, a lot of our songs were political because in politics you can kind of find a semblance of the truth, even though that in itself is a controversial statement that I just said. but that's it. You know, we talk about immigrant rights and things like that do have a truth. You know, no one can deny that immigrants have rights. That kind of thing. You know, so it is three chords and the truth. You know.
Exactly. Have you seen... Oh,
no,
go ahead, please.
It was usually when you write songs, I think that there is different layers of understanding. Mm. You can hear it like a basic love song, and if you read a little further, you think you manage to get that it's political and it talks about... a lot of things that are not that just don't jump on the top of your head at first.
Yeah, it's important for me. It's important for me to write songs that aren't just like you know, vote this way, think this way.
Yeah.
You know, that's horrible. I don't like that kind of song. I mean, and often our songs they present the political issue. And then, because we have two singers, often Juliet will present one side of the issue, and I will present the other side of the issue. So I don't want things to be black and white entirely. Mm. There is some depth to the songs sometimes.
Oh,
it depends which song.
It depends, yeah. Not all of
them. Depends on the team.
Yes, no, I think it's very, that's one of the most interesting things that I've really enjoyed about your music is that you kind of bounce back between these deeply political and engaged conversations, and then you'll have a song about, for example, onigiri, and it's very a nice play, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The song before onigiri on the...
Onigiri could be political.
Yeah, onigiri could be political.
Well,
Yes. I will not dictate how a listener will listen to onigiri. No, that's wonderful. Well, as a band, have there been any moments in your musical career that have like been turning points or definitive moments that kind of shaped how you identified as a band or brought you to this point?
Not really, but we have had like highlights. I mean, there have been really great moments that and adventures that we've had all over Europe and all over France. The one that I will bring up straight away is when we supported the Polysix.
Oh yeah,
there we are.
Of course.
That was great. Actually, it was a dream. Actually, we had.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I didn't want it to end.
So the Polysix is a band that I got into in the 1990s. Before Japanese music was had really become popular, there was an alternative music DJ called John Peel in Britain, who was like the guy who discovered punk, who was the guy that discovered techno, who was the guy that discovered jungle, the guy that discovered hardcore, the guy that discovered grindcore, the guy that discovered death metal, and he was also the guy that discovered J-rock. and he used to play two bands, Melt Banana and The Poly Six. And The Poly Six became the most important J-rock band in Europe because they were the one that people knew because of John Peel. Mm-hmm. So I was really into them, and
it was because of the song Blackout Fallout, I think.
Oh really?
I knew with this song, Poly Six.
Okay.
It was really electro and not rocking at all. It was really weird because when I dig into Poly Six, I discovered that it was not that electro. In fact, it was really rocking, and that's why I love that. And the mix of electro and rock.
Yeah, mix of electronic and rock is very influential and inspirational for European bands. And I think people underestimate the influence of Japanese music on European music. And so it was, anyway, the story is that we just got that show almost by accident. Because a guy who...
It's not by accident. We saw that they were touring in France, and we asked every single show in France to be on first half. and one said...
One of them
near Strasbourg. Just said... we don't have any band, but we don't have any money. And we just said, we don't care about money, we just want to play with Poly Six.
And in actual fact, that story is not true, because the guy who knew the organizer of that Poly Six show, he was from the fanzine, which is a punk post-punk fanzine called PPP Zine.
Yeah.
We had organized a concert in honor of his magazine, because I was a fan of the magazine. So he owed us a favor for many years. He owed us that favor, and he paid it back more than paid it back by getting us the Poly Six gig.
But I remember asking
two of us
asking all the tour, can we play them? No. And then no.
Oh no, that is such a wonderful story. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to ask about that.
And they were
seeing that it was...
they were very they were lovely people as well.
Yeah.
And we hung out for a while, and they don't speak
English at all.
No,
and we tried
to communicate
a little. Despite of the language barrier.
They invited us to their Parisian show too, and so we went along and hung out.
To say hi, not to play.
Just to hang out.
To say hi.
But that was really, really good. Yeah, it was really good.
Nice. Well, speaking of, you know, kind of building up a relationship, have there been other bands throughout your history that you've kind of grown close to or collaborated with or done... shows and things with?
lots and lots, but not like famous. No famous bands. We can reel off a big long list of French underground underground bands that we've really grown to love.
Vienna Ditto.
English bands. We'd recommend Vienna Ditto because they're really wonderful. And J-rock people will love Zombino and the Skeletons.
Oh yeah,
because Zombino and the Skeletons is a Liverpool band that have produced an amazing discography of records in Britain, and I'd recommend them. Zombino and the Skeletons is a lot of cartoon anime influences to their music, so that's really cool.
Mm-mm. Oh, wonderful. So, and I also wanted to ask a little bit more about your influences as a band. So is there anything, any main, I guess, artists or main sounds, main genres that you've been pulled towards recently or just throughout your history?
Throughout the history, we've been pulled towards just about every genre there is. That's been a kind of mainstay of the band, is that we've always been influenced by electronic music. And when I say electronic music, I mean every single electronic music, from house to techno to dubstep to electropop.
To
Eurodance. I mean, we've always been influenced by K-pop and J-pop, just because K-pop and J-pop have this kind of quirky catchiness that I've always been jealous of. I love the quirkiness and the catchiness of the J-pop songs, and especially the modern K-pop songs. They're so catchy. It's you know, really, really an inspiration for punk bands, because punk pop is a catchy genre. How can you make punk pop even catchier than it is already? I mean, that, you have to integrate K-pop and J-pop influences, because it's just like, you know, the catchiest music in the world right now.
And actually, there are six people in the band, so and we're very different from one another. and so I don't know. For example, I don't know. You would, what would you?
I started really with listening like then with like Green Day, NoFX, things like that. And when I was a teenager, my best friend was Japanese, and I used to go to his home and was listening to punk band from Japan. So I grew up already with a lot of jam music in my ear, and in the year, like, I don't know, maybe 10 years or 15 years ago, there was the creation of a television in France that was called No Life, and they were already into a Japanese culture and Japanese music, because it was a music channel. And I just dove into Japanese music, and for about like 5 years, I just listened to only Japanese music. So I became really, really attracted, because I was, like was saying Josh, I was just like, how do they make such catchy melodies and everything? And it was like genius to me, and I tried to assimilate, but I can't, because it's really hard, and it's another way to write music. And in my dream, I compose Japanese music as good as they do, but I can't.
My dream.
That's it. So,
And as for me, well, I used to listen to the Beatles. You know, very not very original, but
The oven is on. I have to turn the oven off.
Maybe we should check on the thing that is cooking in the oven. Sorry, but
problem.
I used to listen to the Beatles. But very different from what I guess what Josh and Arnold used to listen to. I also like, but well, of course, Nirvana. It's not very original either.
Lovely.
This, I love this. I saw them live. I had the chance, you know, to see them live, because they played in Paris. Was it last year? Something like that. Yeah, and it was wonderful. A wonderful concert.
They're lovely people, and we will play with them one day.
Well,
for sure.
Yeah, we'll try. We'll try.
So just not aware of that now.
Yeah, and I also love listening to Tool, for example. So it's very different as well from the Beatles. So,
definitely
some different influences. Yeah,
I was. If we talk about the three other people,
yes,
I think Clem, who is the keyboard player, is more like in indie pop. Into a lot of.
There's a. Motorcycle or something, sorry.
English rock pop bands, things like that. Octave is a DJ, so he's more in electro music and things like that. But like all of us, we listen to a lot of music, different music.
Oh, what's the name of Axel, what's the name of the J-pop band that Axel likes?
Secret Seven Line.
Another one. The really crazy metal one that does loads of anime.
Maximum the Hormone.
Maximum the Hormone.
Maximum the Hormone. Yeah.
Oh yeah, massive band. Massive.
Yes.
And Axel is listen a lot to punk rock and pop punk. He's a really fan of Blink 182, things like that. And recently to jump to pop, punk pop, Japanese punk rock band, like Secret Seven Line, and a lot of other bands that I can't remember the name because they're all the same, but it's been really great.
Oh no, well that's wonderful, yeah, it's lovely. I always love seeing like how all of the different influences mesh, and it's something, another layer like you were talking about earlier to listen to, for listeners to listen to and try and pull out those different influences. Yeah, so I also just wanted to ask a little bit about how your time through quarantine and lockdown and things has been. Oh no, I know, I'm sorry. I know it's the subject no one wants to touch, but
it is really bad.
Nobody wants to talk about it because here in France it was really bad.
It's bad everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure it's bad everywhere. I mean, it was so hard in Paris, so hard. Literally we're traumatized to this day. So there we are. We did manage to record a new record, so that's something.
After the lockdown.
Just two
prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Songs, so it's like a very, like a single. One of the songs is called No Joke, and one of the songs is called Nowhere Land. So we're calling it the No Record.
The No Record.
So I hope that's going to be released soon. We're discussing. I'm discussing with labels right now to see how we can release it, because it's a bad time to release records. Because
it's a bad time for
we can't play.
No one. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Here in France, all music with concerts where you stand up. Where you listen to the music standing up, those concerts are all banned until March 2021, which is like unbelievable to me, because maybe there's a scientific reason, but I've been to a concert where you sit down. I've been to lots of concerts where you just sit down and listen to jazz music and classical music, and I don't see a huge difference in infection and et cetera, so yeah, we can make people sit down. But in general, rock music is banned in France because it's standing up, because you have to stand up to listen to it.
We choose that way.
Electronic music is catastrophic. It's a catastrophic moment in time for electronic music, because why would you sit down to listen to electronic music? That would be crazy. So it's really, really dark at the moment.
Yes, definitely. No, I feel bad even bringing it up, but I wanted to ask, just because I was wondering if you were able to kind of gather and record.
We did record. So we recorded this record, and then in September we did an illegal concert in a town called Montreuil in an open air market. We don't feel guilty about it because it was open air. It's an open air concert.
So we were a little scared to have the police come.
The police did come three times. They came three times.
Oh my goodness!
They
were cool.
Yeah, they were cool. They were cool because. People, the bars.
When it happens,
the
we
bars,
can say they were cool.
Yeah, the bars around the concert were making a lot of money because people.
Right.
I think there were about 200 people when we played, and there was about 300 people at the end of the night when the other bands were playing. And
it's money for the town.
Yeah, it was money for the town. It was money for the bars because bars are really, really suffering right now. because you, the bars are literally closed at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
You literally can't go to a bar and have a drink. So this is, was important for them, and it was important for us. And after the concert, lots of people came up to me and they said, I needed that.
Ça fait du bien.
I needed that so much. And they said, oh my God, I didn't realize how much I needed to hear live music. So I think that music is very important for mental health.
I think that's why there was a lot, so much people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was a
everybody stopped and stayed. And,
it was a very important moment in my life because like I could physically see that I was doing good to people. Every chord that I was playing, it was helping people, and you could see it in their faces for once because obviously people took off their masks during the concert, but you could actually see the music helping people, and that's really, it was really wonderful.
Oh, that's wonderful. No, and so it's so important to have those moments now, especially I think more than anything. It's just seems so depressing and disparaging.
Yeah, it was worth the risk because what we were risking was fines and them confiscating our equipment. So it was worth the risk. and I don't think we're going to take another risk like that because the police have got like a little bit more extreme now in France. So
yeah, I was scared that they beat the shit out of us and break our stuff and things like that. I was more than tear gas in our
hands. Yeah, it's pretty extreme. Pretty extreme.
So
officially, there's no violence, but they're pretty rough.
Yeah. But so we got away with it. We got away with that one. Yes. But probably won't push our luck.
They let everybody play. Two or three. The last band couldn't play.
Yeah, the last band was cancelled.
But they let us play from 6 to 9 p.m. So that was very good.
Yeah, it was very good.
And the police just said, you stop at 9. And that's what we've done. Mm-hmm. And everything went well.
Yeah, that's why the last band couldn't play in the end, but we were happy that it could happen.
Yeah, it was a very, very good night. Very good night.
Mm. Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad that you guys could stick true to your punk rock ideals as well a little bit, right? So
yeah, because I mean, okay, there is some infectious risk of playing music. But I think it's very important for me and everybody to say musicians are not the ones to blame. You know, we're not going around giving COVID to everybody. You know, we're not like infectious.
And we don't know that. But and there's a risk to go to work in an office too.
Yeah, there's a risk. Waking up in the morning, there's a risk. So I think people have to decide what they want in life, if they want music and culture or lockdown and misery.
We can just be careful.
Yeah.
With everyone. Yes. Like wearing masks, doing things. We can be careful and still play concert, show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's possible.
That
just said no. You just don't.
Well, that's a good question for me. Actually, I'd like to ask you: are there concerts in Japan at the moment?
At the moment, I'm not sure what extent they're still doing a lot of things that's empty stadiums, but broadcasted over Zoom or doing an online kind of thing. So, I haven't looked into it too deeply, but I don't even think they're a lot of the major concerts and stadium tours have all been canceled through next year, like you were saying as well. So,
and all the little venues are closed. All the little venues where small or medium band plays. Axel told me that everything was closed.
So everything's mostly closed down, and even they've kind of gone back to a harder line on, like you're saying, bars have to close at a certain hour in certain bigger cities and whatnot. So yeah, it's still kind of, it's a hard scene here too for bands and performers.
Mm.
It's worldwide.
It's just until they can figure something else out, right? But Well, let's kind of wrap up our interview on a positive note. I want to bring us out of this trudge. Kind of looking forward for the next. It's hard to say anything in the future, but as a band and as, you know, individual artists and everything, are there any things in the next couple of years that you're looking forward to, like goal wise? Do you have any goals?
A tour in Japan.
Yeah, that's a serious.
That
is a serious thing that we've been thinking of. We signed to a record label called Damaged Goods a long time ago, and they sold quite a few records of ours in Japan. So that gives me an idea that it's possible.
And with We Outspoken.
And then we've toured with a Canadian band called We Outspoken. And the guitarist they have for tours is Akira, who is Japanese, and he plays in a Japanese band as well.
They tour like two times or three times in Japan, and they met this guy
on a tour
who is playing guitar, and they just say, "Ah, come up with us," because our guitarist is not coming because he's making children, I think. Yeah. Every day, all day long.
Oh my gosh.
It's a little time. And then they ask Akira to come with them, and now they're touring with him, and it's pretty cool, and maybe we can do that if someone in the band can't make it with us. We ask to some guy, can you play with us? And then we have like the guitarist from Polisic, for example.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm touring with us. It's just an example.
And so that's what we want to do. Another thing, me and Arno, we've been writing J-pop songs for money because we haven't made any money out of it yet. But because of lockdown. But we have written two J-pop songs in Japanese. And before that, I wrote some J-pop and K-pop songs with really top guys from the J-pop scene.
And now you're crying with money.
Yeah, but I didn't make any money from that either. But it was pretty amazing experience to work with professional J-pop writers. So just to be clear, they write J-pop in London. It's insane.
Oh, wow.
but there's a studio in London, and I wrote a K-pop song specifically with a writer who had written songs for TVXU. He wrote an album for TVXU one time. And then I wrote a J-pop song with Pete Baringer, who's written songs for Girls Generation, BoA, SHINee, TON, and lots of J-pop bands too. So he's really big in K-pop and J-pop. And so I just wanted to mention that because maybe listeners don't realize that J-pop is a global phenomenon. It really is a global phenomenon. And a lot of big J-pop songs get written in Stockholm in Sweden or London and Los Angeles too. So it really is a global phenomenon. It's incredible.
No, definitely. Well, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, it
wasn't
a question.
It wasn't a question, but I wanted to mention it anyway because I actually listen to the podcast. I actually do listen to the podcast every week.
Thank you.
And I really do love J-pop. So there we are.
But as a band, we're just looking forward to playing again. You know, it's just our goal somehow. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Writing new songs.
Definitely.
Yeah, write new songs. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Well, yeah, thank you so much. And thank you also for bringing that up. Yes, I know it was another question, but I'm happy that you did bring that up because it's not every day that our listeners get to have an insight into, well, not only the inner workings of a band, but someone who also got to work closely with people who write J-pop and
I mean, and the incredible thing is these guys, they do it for a living. I mean, they've got gold albums, platinum albums, but they're basically just overgrown children who just love K-pop and love J-pop. They really do. They're passionate about it. It's actually incredible to see. They wake up at 8 o'clock every morning and go to the studio. It's their job, you know. But they are passionate about it, And we wrote all the lyrics for J-pop songs are written in English first. And then they picked up by the Japanese people who then kind of translate 90% of them and keep like one or two English sentences and words and things. And so that's interesting as well, because that's become part of the style of J-pop. And it actually, an English word
from
time to time, but those are just like things that they were like, oh, we won't translate that bit, or you know, we'll translate this line, but we'll leave this line how it is, and things like that. And it's very interesting for me as a J-pop fan.
And putting English words, even if it doesn't make any sense, because it just sounds great. In Secret 7 line a lot. I like a band that called School Food Punishment.
Food Punishment.
I've seen an interview of them. They were saying like, we found the word nice and we put them together and it's the band's name now. Okay.
I think that style comes from idol groups who take songs from Los Angeles and London. And they just left English words that they didn't feel like translating, and that has become part of the style. And even Japanese bands now write Japanese songs and they stick in an English word from time to time, even though just because it's become a stylistic part of the style, you know.
We do that in French.
No, definitely. The global commodity of English words, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It sounds good in rock music.
Yeah.
English.
Yeah.
fits in with the style and everything. Wonderful. Well, if there's, I guess, to close out the interview, if there's something that you would like to, a message to our listeners that you'd like to say to them, the floor is yours. If there's anything.
Form bands.
Yeah, three chords and the truth.
I don't
create,
have anything special.
Create music, create everything. Create.
And try to be sensitive to
be an artist.
New things. And in general. It's
and
very
listen to
vague.
Puffy, because it's the best band ever.
Ah, yeah, Puffy. Yeah.
Puffy,
that's
Puffy,
one of Arno's favorite bands.
Puffy.
Good band. Music is a force for good. There we are.
Oh, lovely. Yes. Try new things, listen to Puffy, and music can change the world. I love it. Okay, great. So to just end, is there anywhere you'd like to be found? Like, where can people find you?
Ooh, the best collection of our work is
internet.
Is on Bandcamp. Bandcamp is the best site for music right now. I mean, obviously we're on Spotify and all that kind of thing as well, but I always find Spotify's search complicated and bizarre. Bandcamp is simple, and you can see our whole discography listed, pretty easy to understand. So Bandcamp.
And you've put a thing to be sampled too in Bandcamp?
Yeah, there's all kinds of things on Bandcamp. We have instrumental versions of lots of our songs, all kinds of interesting things. It's actually very easy to understand, but our discography is complex because we've done lots and lots of strange things, and the easiest way to get your head around things is Bandcamp. I've said it loads of times. www.bandcamp.com.
Okay, lovely. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me.
No problem.
I loved getting to know you, and I hope that you can continue to work on your next project, your no project, and stay safe and healthy during the rest of the quarantine and everything.
You too.
Thanks a lot.
It was lovely.
Thank you.
It was really great.
Yes, thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Lewis Ling and the Bombs and me. I hope that you enjoyed that. Next up, we will have, well, I guess let me ask you, Ethel, what do we have in store for us now?
Oh, so next up we have a Japanese singer based in Canada, and her name is Yuri TKA. So yeah, and I hope you guys will enjoy the interview.
Hi, my name is Yuri Tikitaka. I'm performing my original two songs. First song's In Your Love. Hopefully you like it. So my second song's title is Bedroom.
Forever, whoa, whoa. Just heard a live performance of Yuri TKA, a pop and R&B singer and J-pop crossover artist and model, perform her latest tracks In Your Love and Bedroom, which are coming off her upcoming album Flavors of Love, releasing in November of 2020. TKA is actually an abbreviation of her family name Takase. She was born in Japan and currently lives in Vancouver, Canada, where she moved to when she was 19. Her passion for music started at a young age and was mainly influenced by Japanese pop and R&B music. In 2015, Yuri started her professional music career as she wanted to create a sound of her own. Her new EP, Just Me and You, was released only in April 27th of 2020 and features the tracks Kiss Me, Candy Crush, No More Drama, and All I Need Is You. Yuri often collaborates with pop production house Loft Pop, which is owned and operated by Lerumo, the pop star, who is interested in producing musical works for pop music, EDM, urban music, and music branding. Lerumo, the pop star, is a two-time music chart topper, previously signed to Entertainment One 2018, and is now the powerhouse behind Loft Pop. Loft Pop produces and places artists with invaluable opportunities, being a stepping stone for new upcoming pop artists that Lerumo chooses to work with. And without further ado, here is my interview with Yuri TKA, right after her live performance of her latest singles, In Your Love and Bedroom.
Yuri, do tell us about yourself.
Hi, so my name is Yuri, and actually you can call Taka. So that's how it, everybody can pronounce my name. I've been doing music around like 4 years. And I live in Vancouver, Canada now. I still sing in the public and the venue, and also have fundraising event, lots of events. But for nowadays, you know, it's more quieter because of COVID-wise. But I love music. I love sharing the music with people. Yeah, so I'm releasing my new album in November. So that, I just performed two songs that they're from my new album. Okay. Hopefully everybody likes it. Yeah.
Tell us about the songs that you performed just a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah. Okay, so two songs came from Loft Pop, the record label that I work with now. So when I heard those tracks, I was like, oh, okay, like right away I could write the music. And I decided to write music in Japanese too, because I wanted to express myself more in my language. And also when I performed in Japan, I noticed like then maybe I need to sing in Japanese, and everybody can maybe understand, you know, what my lyrics too. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, so this song's about love. Mostly maybe like first song, In Your Love. That's the In Your Love is mostly obsession love. Okay. Yeah, it's like it's not a monster love like couple, but the girlfriend's so into the boyfriend, and it's very deep love. And then second song, it's more like, you know, love song. It's happy song, but like.
And second song is Bedroom?
Sorry? Bedroom, and the yes, second Bedroom, song. Yeah. So I usually write, I like the love song because, you know, people need love, and I'm gonna tell everybody to love somebody, to be loved somebody, it's so nice. Everybody needs love, right? Yeah. So yeah.
Okay, so. Who are your musical influences?
Oh, influences? I love a lot of, well, of course, I love the Japanese pop. I like Utada Hikaru.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, I love her so much. And also, I grew up with one J-pop artist. Her name's Ayumi Hamasaki. Mm. Have you heard?
Yes.
Yeah. And also the English singers, I listen to Tina Shay. Well, a lot of artists, because I don't really listen to just one artist. I like to listen to different music every day. So mm-hmm. I was inspired from a lot of artists.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but mostly female artists, like R&B, pop, female artists. Yeah, that's I usually get influenced from.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us more about your upcoming album. What's the album title?
Oh, album title is The Flavors of Love. Okay. So there are so many ways of love, right? There are so many stories about love, like love stories. That's why I want to make it in one album. So it's supposed to be coming out like 5 songs in album. I recorded 5 songs, just finished recording last month. So mm-hmm. I'm still kind of working on other stuff. But it's all about love.
Okay, and it comes out in November 27th, just next month.
Yeah. So that's my birthday, actually. So I want to release on my birthday. And then, I want to celebrate my birthday, too.
So this upcoming album, Flavors of Love, is your follow-up release after releasing your first EP, Just You and Me, about 10 months ago in April of 2020. I want to know, as a musician, what has it been like releasing new music during a global pandemic?
I think a lot of people stay home more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think I want to sing something more energetic, really passionate. So that's the... I made it, you know, like the song about, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's really good encouragement to give it more power and to all the listeners. And then maybe it's now everybody use the Zoom and Skype and everybody can see all the world that we can connect all people from the world easier, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think it's good timing to release music.
Okay. How was your recording process? Like, did you have to go into the studio to do the recording?
Yeah, that's I had to. Yeah, okay, I couldn't go to like a big public space, unfortunately, because of more restriction.
Mm-hmm.
I went to more like small studio that my friend owns.
Okay. So you started your musical career about 4 or 5 years ago. What inspired you to join the music industry? And I know you've always wanted to be a musician, but mm-hmm. why did you decide to take that leap and join the music industry?
Well, I didn't have much confidence when I was a child, but my mom really liked my voice, so she always gave me a lot of confidence. I mean, compliments, and I was really happy about it, of course, and I loved my mom, and so my best friend usually like asked me like, oh, can you sing? And I love your voice. So that gave me a lot of confidence. So I decided like, oh, maybe I want to give this, this confidence maybe to other people, you know, like, and through music. And yeah. And also when I started singing the very first time in Japan, I got so many feedback, like voice, other audience and, oh, I really liked your lyrics. I like this song. What's the title? So I really liked that too. So I got more confident.
Before the global pandemic, so before 2020, do you regularly travel between Vancouver and Japan to perform?
Performance just one time, but yeah, I usually go back once a year. And I started joining a radio station too, because I'm from Sapporo. So mm-hmm. I joined the radio station last year. I was supposed to do this year, but it canceled because of pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what brought you all the way to Vancouver? I know you moved to Vancouver at 19, but was it for studies?
I was really interested in studying English and other culture too, but it's actually my mom. She passed away when I was 19, mm-hmm. and that was a big change, right? And I was still young, and I was like, oh, I want to change my environment. I want to go to the new world. So that's a trigger. I moved to Canada.
That's impressive. Do you enjoy singing mostly in English and Japanese, or do you prefer one combining both of them?
I like combine both of them because sometimes I think in English in my head and sometimes in Japanese and yeah.
Where can your new fans connect with you and find your music?
Oh, where? You can go to my website and there's all the links there. So you can just go jump to this, my social media, that's okay. You can find other music.
What is the website again?
Oh, it's the artist. It's artist, mm-hmm. Yuri, yuri.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you guys heard it. Yuri.com. So it's artist.yuri.com.
Yeah.
Okay. And we can find your music on SoundCloud, Spotify, and yes. Connect with you on Instagram and Facebook too, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. And then will you be hosting any more? So I have actually gone onto your Facebook page and I see that you've been regularly hosting a lot of live performances online. Mm-hmm. So will you be hosting any more online live performances in the next?
Not for now, but I'm planning to do more, hopefully. Especially my album is coming like next month. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just stay tuned, please. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess that's all for the interview. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, just maybe just, yeah, I mostly regularly like update my Instagram more often. More than mm-hmm. Facebook, so yeah, like everybody can maybe follow my my Instagram. It's called a Yuri Sound and okay. Underscore, right. Underscore, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Yuri.
Thank you so much.
Too, and take care during this whole global pandemic. And I look forward to seeing your new release in November.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
So if you didn't catch what she said a little bit earlier, you can find Yuri at artistyuri.com or connect with her on her via her Instagram at yurisound_ or on her Facebook at yurisound. So it's yurisound. You can also find her music on Spotify under her artist name Yuri TKA.
So Andy, what do you think of Louis Thingamabobs? And what do you think of Yuri TKA?
Well, I think it's a nice variety of music. It's also really cool to get to hear the wide influence of, you know, different J-pop sounds and things. That's something that I know came up in my interview pretty heavily, is just how broadly influential J-pop and J-rock as genres have been on music, and how that has kind of extended over the borderlines of Japan into other countries and whatnot. So yeah, I think it's really cool to have some representation from indie artists. I know, of course, in the past we've also had many artists represented outside of Japan, but I think that's something that I was thinking about this time particularly of, I know Yuri TKA is over in Canada, like you said, and Louis Thingamabobs is operating out of Paris. So, yeah. How about you? Is there anything that you, any big takeaways or things that stuck with you with your interview or with the music that we heard today?
I think I've just basically enjoyed the variety of artists that submit their music to Japan Top 10, especially the independent ones who are performing outside of Japan and who have such appreciation for Japanese music and have been heavily influenced by them, especially in Europe and America. Like you said, it's always nice to have an episode where you can listen to how Japanese music, different types of genres, influence people to create their own variation of Japanese-inspired types of music.
Yeah, definitely. And I forgot to plug Louis Thingamabobs, but you can find them. They prefer that you find them on Bandcamp, bandcamp.com. But you can also find their music on SoundCloud. I know that's where I listen to a lot of their music, and as well as I think YouTube as well. And they are across social media as well, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Spotify and whatnot. So I just wanted to plug them to make sure that if you are very interested in Louis Thingamabobs, you can check them out there. And I don't know, did you have a nice plug for Yuri TKA that you'd like to fit in here?
No, I've actually, earlier in my interview, I've actually asked her to plug herself to try to get all her new fans to follow her on Instagram, Facebook, and I think her YouTube channel. She also does her Twitter, but she's most active on Instagram at yurisound_. So yeah.
Perfect. Yes, lovely. Sorry, just wanted to make sure that we're getting wonderful representation for our indie artists.
Exactly, because they definitely need all the representation they can get. And I'm not sure about you, but did Louis Ling release any new tracks this year?
Yes, they did, actually. Or they were working on some tracks that were to be released coming up. I know they were working on that, so I'm not sure if that's going to come out within this year, but they worked, they had a project where they made punk rock with AI. Yes, just last year, but that, I know that was last year. So I don't know if that counts as their most recent release, but they are also working on new music that was developed and made over the quarantine and lockdown and whatnot. So look out for that in the future. Keep your eyes peeled on their Bandcamp.
I mean, that was also one of the particularly more interesting parts of this interview, especially for independent musicians. Because I found it very interesting that on my side for Yuri TKA, she actually pushed out an EP and now a forthcoming album this year in 2020 during a global pandemic. And I found it very interesting to see how was it like for her to do this and to also commit to performing live streams on her Facebook to get people to listen to her music on Spotify, etc.
Yeah, that, I mean, that is such a good point too. Like, I know that something that came up as well with my interview was that just it's so hard to put out an album at this time because, you know, album production relies heavily on being able to tour and, you know, really that's where you make a lot of the, I guess, money, to put it very cynically, but that's where a lot of the money is made for artists, is touring and, you know, going around and merchandising and things. So to put out an album is really incredible, and I think fans are lucky that artists are able and willing to, you know, do that still within the pandemic, even though they can't go around and tour like they usually do.
Yeah, I totally agree. Independent artists really need to tour a lot to survive. Any live performance always helps, and the money always goes back to production of their next track or next album or next EP. So yeah.
Exactly. So yes, we are fortunate to have performers still working, and maybe some of the quarantine blues will come out in some of the songs we hear in the next couple of months.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, I hope everyone has had a fun time listening to this indie music episode from Andy and myself. Next month, we've got a bonus top 10 episode coming out this month in October, and it will be our last Listener Appreciation Month episode. So you will be joining our newest hosts on the podcast, I and Tassie, for what was supposed to be a patron donor exclusive episode, but because it's Listener Appreciation Month, everyone now gets to hear it. And they will see you guys in a week from now.
That's right. So if you enjoyed this episode, again, please consider becoming a Patreon donor at jtop10.jp/club, starting at $1 a month, and support our podcast.
Yep, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Yes, lots of good stuff there. So that's all for now.
Okay, see you around, Andy, and everyone else.
Yes. Yes, take care, Ethel, and everyone, please stay safe and healthy.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye, Johnny. Japan Top
10. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.